Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
We can say the off-season is over. I watched competitive games last night. I'm going to talk about competitive games today. There's going to be competitive games tomorrow. Can you tell I'm excited? We're having Mickey Turner on the show today to talk about Seattle Sounders. The CONCACAF Champions League is upon us. I'm going to cover a game tonight. Mickey's covering a game tomorrow. Fun times. How you doing, Mickey?
Doing well, Kevin. Excited to see the season underway. It was entertaining last night, although obviously MLS doing MLS things in CONCACAF was the theme of the evening.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I'm not sure why anyone would be surprised that Club Lyon beat LAFC last night, but regardless, putting that on a shelf for a second, Mickey, Seattle has made some good sounds about taking this competition very seriously this year, even suggesting that they might be willing to drop some points early in the year, some rest some players early in the year in order to take a big run at the competition. They certainly got a good draw for it. Do you believe that rhetoric, or do you think when push comes to shove that the Sounders are going to struggle when they walk into a packed, CenturyLink still there, whatever your stadium's called nowadays, and see those crowd? Are they really going to be able to pump the brakes a little bit there to focus on it?
Well, they may not end up having a choice because Brian Spencer revealed yesterday that Nicolas Lodero is questionable for the CCL game. He had a procedure done, unbeknownst to the press, which was also disclosed yesterday. So they may be out with, their number one player, their best player, the talisman, may not even be available for the CCL game on Thursday, and that probably puts, at least to some degree, his participation in next week's game and the start of the season into question. So they unfortunately may not be at full strength to start off the season, and if they're missing Lodero, then they don't really have anyone who's a like-for-like replacement, not that you could replace a DP in this league. So it's going to be an interesting start to the season. Aside from that, though, I think they did what they could to get prepared for Champions League. They did fill the third DP slot with João Paulo, who looked very good in the short glimpses that we've been able to see him in practice and scrimmages. He'll probably move up a line if Lodero's not there and take the number 10 spot. He did do, he has some creative abilities and some excellent passing, good set piece taker. So, to the extent that they have prepared or could have prepared, they did. But it may be that injuries derail their hopes a little bit here.
It is a good draw, as I said, and I think anyone will agree with that. The first round should be handable. They would then likely face they'll either face Saprissa or Montreal in the next round. Do you think that would be handable? So how confident are you that Seattle can get to a semifinals or better in this tournament?
Yeah, so, okay, let's assume that Lodero is back and reasonably healthy and can participate. Then they basically have a full-strength squad to start the season. They've got a couple of depth pieces that they can sign. Miguel Ibarra appears he's going to sign with the team as well. There are reports out there that he has, in fact, signed. I've been able to confirm that, but I expect it's going to happen. So you bring him in, and then you've got depth pretty much all over the field to compete on multiple fronts. I'm sure you may have to use a couple of youth players in either MLS games or CCL games, but you've got the team, I think, to compete. You've got Ladera, you've got Ruy Diaz, you've got Morris and Roldan, who will likely play on the wings. You've got a somewhat revamped defense with a couple of new signings. Yamar Andrade is going to be taking over the center back role for the departed Roman Torres and Ken Kihi. And then you've got New, who appears to have won the left back spot. So you've got the team to absolutely compete. And so you would expect, even without Lodero, they should be able to take care of Olympia. And then you've got Saprissa or Montreal, who Kevin can obviously speak to in the next round. And you have to think the Sounders are favored there as well. So if you've got those games in the Sounders' advance, you got to like their chances of getting to the semifinals where they'll meet Mexican competition, where the learning curve increases quite a bit.
Speaking of the Sounders, Mickey, what do you think is the excitement level for the fans in Seattle at this moment in the CCL? It is, yes, of course, a favorable draw, but it's also an offseason where there's been a couple of changes with Seattle. Nothing too extravagant, but there's an evolution, continuing evolution. And like you mentioned, the Lodero injury, we'll see if he can miraculously recover in 24 hours and rehabilitate in time, which is a big question mark, like you mentioned. Does it damper the expectations a bit for Seattle in the CCL? Seattle has been a constant in the CCL in the last few years because of their great play in regular season and in the playoffs. They have been in the CCL very often. Is there a CCL fatigue? And what do you think the fans have as an expectation level for the Seattle Sounders?
Well, I think the expectations, as they almost always are with the Sounders, are extremely high. They're obviously the defending MLS Cup champions. They did not have a major amount of turnover to the key pieces. They did lose a bunch of supporting pieces in Victor Rodriguez, MLS MVP, Tim Tehe, Roman Torres. But they replaced all of those with the exception of Rodriguez. I think the fan base is very excited for the start of the season. It's been a bit odd this year because the Sounders have been away more than they've been at home, and they haven't been on TV or streaming playing preseason games. So it's been a bit difficult to really cover the team. So I'm sure that has dampened enthusiasm at least a little bit for the start of the season. That said, you're going to be raising a new banner on March 1st when the Chicago Fire come to town. So that certainly is going to be something that the fans are looking forward to, having won the MLS Cup championship at home. Dwayne can speak to how that can energize the fan base as well. And so I think, you know, again, with the team having been gone and not been playing games that, you know, you can write about or watch on TV, they've been a bit removed, which has been a bit unusual and somewhat disappointing. But you understand, Kevin, you can talk to Montreal spending significant time in previous Champions League tournaments away from home to prepare for Mexican and Central American competition, and that being a big benefit. So it's kind of one of the prices you pay to try to take full advantage of the CCL tournament.
It's funny, Mickey, you talk about the lack of streams for preseason game, and that's pretty much across Major League Soccer, too. There's the odd exception there. Example, the Tampa Bay Rowdies, wherever they were playing. Oftentimes it was streamed by the Rowdies themselves. But it has been a more of a closed preseason than in the past. Like there's no more like that famous Disney Invitational tournament where all the games were streamed that you could just rent a room and go there for 3 days. Remember these days? So a lot of things have changed over the last couple of years. And this year, it's really obvious. And I think it's a tactical choice by different teams in the league itself to maybe close down the amount of information of teams during the preseason, so that there's an amount of interrogation, of unknown when you start the season, and it makes for a good monkey in the wrench. It makes for good television and good soccer. Maybe you're onto something there, Mickey. I'm wondering, looking at the Sounders in the next couple of weeks, of course, the home and away is very close at the beginning of the season. First game on Thursday for the Seattle Sounders, second leg the next week, and then, of course, on the Sunday, they play against Chicago. Am I crazy by thinking that the CCL teams this year actually have a very important part of their season to start their season? Usually we say it's how it finishes in Major League Soccer. I anticipate this year to be so close that maybe in 2020 it's how you start.
Yeah, that's always a big, the Sounders finally got off kind of the slow start schneid that they were on in 20 after winning in 2016 and losing in 2017, to start the 2019 season, they got off to a great start, and then they had their swoon. They seem to have these every year at some point in the season. They had their swoon in midsummer as injuries and international duty really just decimated the team. And so I think they're cognizant of the fact, coming off the championship, not wanting to have the hangover that they had in 2017. They've messaged that to the team to get off to a good start, even with CCL competition in play. They have their team is basically set, save maybe one additional piece that they may add, and they may add a couple of youth players from the Tacoma Defiance or USL side. But obviously those guys aren't going to necessarily factor. But the team itself is pretty much set. Garth Lagerwey, the general manager, has said the Sounders are at the mature part of their cycle. And so they've got all their pieces on the chessboard ready to go. And so I think that you'll see them try to manage the start of the season. They have a somewhat favorable schedule. They've got Nashville early. They've got Chicago early. Columbus, who actually looks pretty good this year, at least on paper. They've got them early, and still the Crew are coming off a pretty disappointing season. So they've got the teams to get off to a great start and then hopefully be able to ride the fixture congestion, inevitable injuries, and international duties during the middle part of the season, because in May and June they've got a lot of games in a short amount of time, and they've got some tough opponents as well. So they may struggle again as they did last year. But that makes it all the more important that they get off to a good start again, maybe run off 4 or 5 wins, and then you can, do what you can to mitigate some of those losses and maybe grab a couple of points here and there as they start to lose players, as always happens at MLS.
Mickey, in 2018, when TFC went to the final, it derailed their season. Then later on, they gave a call to SKC last year and said, look, you guys are going deep. Do you want some advice on how to handle this? Peter Vermees, in an act of hubris, I can only imagine, declined to take that call. And, we know what happened to Kansas City last year. How can Seattle, and has Seattle prepared for what is a tax on the body to avoid what happened to Kansas City and Toronto the last 2 years if they do a deep run?
Yeah, Garth has specifically talked about studying what happened to Kansas City and Toronto. They've absolutely messaged that. And to some degree, you're going to have to rely, the Sounders are going to have to rely on their depth and their youth to get them through the tough stages, especially if they advance deep. Obviously, if they lose to Olympia or Montreal Saprissa, then that's something of a moot point because you're not really getting it deep into the CCL. But as I said, they've studied those teams. They studied their Spencer has studied what happened in the aftermath of the 2016 win when they got off to a terrible start. And so it will behoove them to really rely on their depth if they can, maybe in the early part of the season, to try to get some of those wins with some of the young players, and then ride out the injuries and international duties that are going to come in the middle of the season. But if you go deep in that tournament, with MLS and the salary cap and the way things are, you don't have like replacements at certain key positions. And so if a Nico Lodero or Raul Diaz, if they either go down to injury or they just need to be rested, you're just going to have to deal with having young, unproven players or simply MLS level replacement players who simply aren't of the quality of your DPs. It's just the kind of the way of the MLS world with the salary cap and limits on DPs.
Mickey, to wrap it up, we probably won't have a chance to talk to you again before the start of the MLS regular season, barring something unexpected happening in Seattle, and we need an expert. Don't anticipate that though. So where do you see the Sounders fitting in the West this year? It's kind of easy to just take a pen and sort of write them in around 1-3 somewhere and then deep in the playoffs. Is it just going to be more of the same, or do we think that that this might be a year that has some potential pitfalls for them?
So I think they're well positioned to be in the top, the top four, which they've actually never finished outside of in their MLS history. They've had a couple of fourth place finishes, some playing games that they've had to do, but they've always been a top four team. And I think they're still, as I said, I think they're still around that, again, with the standard caveats regarding injuries. But they've got their, again, they're at the mature part of their cycle. They've got all of their top pieces ready to go, with the exception of Ladero, and he is not expected to miss a lot of time.
I think we just lost Mickey.
All right. Well, I'll finish that. They're probably going to finish in the top four.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, we just lost Mickey. We wish Mickey all the best for tomorrow night's game. You can follow Mickey's work on Sounders at Heart. And you can follow also Mickey on Twitter at TurnerESQ. Let's take a quick break and talk about the CONCACAF Champions League once again after the break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. The CONCACAF Champions League is back. The Montreal Impact season is upon us tonight. It's game day. You want to follow more closely the Montreal Impact this season? Well, I'm bringing it back for patrons only. Off the Woodworks. $5 a month will give you access to Off the Woodworks and all the premium podcasts of the Sports Podcasting Network at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Tonight, after the game of CONCACAF Champions League between Saprissa and Montreal, I'm in studio. I'm with friends. We'll see. Maybe you'll have some guest appearance on different shows. We'll see you later tonight. Nothing is official. But for what is official is I'll be talking about the game tonight for patrons only at patreon.com/offthewoodworks. I might even go live for patrons only later tonight if possible, but Dwayne, until then, I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be ready. I've already looked at my schedule. I think I'm going to watch all games tonight. I'm going to watch for sure Saprissa Montreal. Alianza Tigres, I'm going to be watching that too on the secondary screen. And at 10, Comunicacion Club America should be a good game. I've rarely been this excited. My doctor is probably trying to call me to be, Kevin, calm your, you know what, because your heart probably won't survive today. It's game day. Let's go. Let's go.
We'll have our first Canadian review of this decade tomorrow, I guess, that case. So there you go. I know Kevin doesn't like to call the decade. He's a literalist when it comes to the decades. But
no, but you know, it's you have to get reactions where you can. And people be like, oh, you're that guy? No, but I can be.
There you go. Hashtag pedantic. At any rate, it should be fun. It is surreal to think that there will be a game on TSN and the MLS crew will be back in place. I imagine Luke Wallman's somewhere out now warming up the vocal cords.
The dulcet tones of Luke Wallman, an all-Canadian affair. Love it.
There you go. It should be good. Look, last night was maybe not the best for Major League Soccer, I guess. I think Atlanta's fine. They went on the road. They got their road goal. Martinez, you know, does what he does, right? Like, they didn't look great at times, but then he found a way to find the back of the goal. And an away goal matters a great deal in this competition. I think they'll probably have enough to get it done in the second leg there.
The thing is, they had to battle with a lot of injuries, visa problems. They signed like a short-term deal. One of their strikers from the MLS Super Draft, which is rare in 2020, just to make up the numbers because of visa problems, injuries. It was a depleted, and because of transfers in the offseason, well, let's be honest, that haven't been replaced yet. Yeah, it was a depleted Atlanta team, and that was the case for Cruz Azul also. We'll get there in a second, but a couple teams were depleted in this beginning of the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, Cruz Azul. They
played with players from their academy, not the reserve team. Literally academy players.
Yes, we have this favorite thing about CONCACAF play when you get those 100 numbers rolling out there. But
exactly.
That's
funny.
At any rate, back to the the LAFC game, Club Lyon game, had to disappoint a lot of people and a lot of MLS 4 type people, because really I think a lot of most people believe, and quite rightly, that LAFC is a very strong team and amongst the most, this probably the strongest team talent-wise in this tournament from Major League Soccer. With all due respect to Seattle, the defending champions, we all understand that that was a playoff situation, and LAFC over the course of the full season was the better team. Seattle is certainly very good too and have the better draw. So between those two teams, therein lies your hope. No one's talking about NYCFC. Anyway, we'll talk about them tomorrow, I guess. But yeah. Just more of the same, right? And really it shows the talent gap. And they started to make some moves towards fixing that with the CBA. But obviously you don't snap a finger with a new CBA and immediately fix it. We're still dealing with the old CBA realities right now. And yeah. And that reality is it takes a very special set of circumstances or a very special and unique team in Major League Soccer history in the 2017-2018 TFC, like start of 2018. That was a unique team, right? And it was one that's not replicable very often. And LAFC, you know, even in that TFC run, they had a little bit of luck here and there. They grounded out. They just had sort of the
same for
Montreal.
They
threw themselves against the wall, right? Like, and
same for Montreal, you know, when they get to the final in 2015. They had a bit of luck where the Cameron Porter goal and then having the draw and the luck of having a Costa Rican team and not a Mexican team in the semifinal giving them a shot at the final. So, no. RSL is the same thing. LA is the same thing. Teams that had a deep run in this competition from Major League Soccer, I would almost say they had a great run despite themselves in a bit.
Yeah, when in Toronto's case, you look at the Colorado series in that run, you know, Colorado basically treated it as a preseason game. They already said they were treating it as a preseason game, so they almost had a pass in the first round other
exactly.
than dealing with the cold weather. And that makes a difference. You mentioned the Montreal run. Well, there was only 3 rounds back then. 4 now, and that makes a big difference on the body and the travel and all that sort of stuff there.
And
I
it's
do like
two more, it's 2 more games that you have an opportunity or a probability of facing a Mexican club. So you got 1 more chance of facing a Mexican club on your way to the finals.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of you. The travel, I think, is underrated in terms of the effect it does. So, you know, I wasn't at all. Maybe I take a little bit too much joy in watching the MLS trip up here because it gets a little much sometimes. But I will, you know, much sometimes listening to people try and justify the fact that MLS is on equal footing or this. But I think in fairness to even the official media, I listened to Extra Time's preview yesterday, which is excellent. You should listen to it. And they were realistic this year. They asked at the end of the show, you know, is this the year MLS breaks it? And they went, no. I mean, no.
So you know what's happening, right?
I'd be surprised.
I know, but if we're all saying it's not this year, well, Dan Murphy and his stupid law is going to come into play, and the MLS team is going to win in 2020. But that's the interesting aspect. All right, let's go actually into yesterday's games. Portmore United, Cruz Azul, the first time a Jamaican team may take part in the CONCACAF Champions League in this iteration. Portmore United playing in Kingston in the same stadium where Usain Bolt actually perfected his talents. He was in attendance wearing a Cruz Azul cap. That kind of tells you all you need to know about where his allegiances lied last night. But Portmore United scored the opening goal and had the lead for over 20 minutes. It kind of looked like the team from Jamaica was going to pull off maybe the biggest upset this year in CONCACAF, and then they got CONCACAFed. Cruz Azul scored, and then they scored again late, literally with seconds to go in extra time, and Cruz Azul is going back to Mexico City with a 2-1 lead, with academies and reserve players making the most of their starting 11.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of karma in there, and in the extra time we were basically one of the last kicks of the game, but there was so much extra time in that, partly because the Jamaican side was doing what CONCACAF teams do
exactly.
in that second half to try and protect that lead. So they had some time added on there that maybe they might not have otherwise. So maybe there's some lesson there. I doubt anyone will learn it. They never do. And they get away with it. So usually. Anyway, it was a funny game. Look, yeah, Cruz Azul played the kids. The Jamaicans defended well at times and got some luck. There was a couple crossbars involved, a couple point blank saves. So it was.
Yeah. Cruz Azul really should have scored 7 goals about yesterday. Yeah. It's just like Leon should have scored about 5 versus LAFC. We'll get there in a second. But Portmore Cruz Azul, I think I was actually happy to see Cruz Azul play to that level. And if you're wondering why were the stands so empty, well, it's first of all, soccer is not that popular in Jamaica per se. I think Jamaican soccer is more popular outside of Jamaica than in Jamaica, and especially in Kingston or in Montego Bay. No one cares about soccer. And you say, why do you say that, Kevin? Because I was there 6 months ago, and I literally made my research and asked everyone I could if they like soccer. People were like, no, we don't. But anyway, so that was that. Motaga, Atlanta United, another interesting aspect that did give me a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of PTSD. Why? Because they were playing at San Pedro Sula. Famous home of maybe the biggest defeat in the Canadian men's national team history. But this time around, it was actually a fun game with an interesting 3 minutes between the 33rd and the 36th minute where you saw 2 goals. Motaga scored and then Josef Martinez scored the equalizer just a couple of seconds later. 1-1. Atlanta should be happy coming back home with a draw despite having a very, very depleted team.
Yeah, no, precisely. As I said off the top, I think Atlanta's got to be happy with that. It's a better shape than they were last year, where everything was a battle in this competition. And Atlanta in general, I think, and I asked Charles this on Monday, I think a lot of us are sleeping on them because of the changeover and because we just don't trust DeBoer. It might True. Be a team to not sleep on. They're still talent rich. And they have money, so it is, you can't ignore them. That said, it is a tougher draw for them in the next round, and they're going to need to be better than what they were and get some of those visa issues sorted out if they're going yeah. to be able to play on the road in this tournament
or in Canada. So that's another thing. You mentioned Atlanta, Dwayne, and the way when we talked to Charles too, what it's their fourth season in existence.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, they won in the second and last year. Yeah. That means yeah.
And I'm already tired of Atlanta. I'm already sick of hearing about no offense to Atlanta fans. Like, I love that you have a good team. I love that you love your team. I kind of want change. Kind of want to see something different. Like, no offense. It's fun to have some variety in life. And I guess I'm already have a little bit of Atlanta fatigue in me.
So will you be traveling to the 2020 MLS Cup final between Seattle and Toronto then?
No. God, if that happens... Is that odd available somewhere? Can you put money on having Toronto and Seattle once again in the MLS Cup final? If you can, you might have good odds right now. I'll take that bet, even though I don't want it to happen because, yeah, no offense. Yeah.
We don't talk about odds in this show a lot, but Vegas lines drop. Toronto is second favorite to win MLS Cup. Seattle is fifth favorite to play MLS Cup. So
where's Montreal? You
can probably do some math in there.
Invert it. And they're probably like close to the top, but the top of the bottom.
I think they're like about TFC was 6-1 or 5-1. Pardon me. I think Montreal was like 20-1.
Even 20-1 seems very, very like conservative. For the odds, for like the bookmaker. All right, last game last night was Lyon LAFC. We mentioned a 2-0 victory by Lyon. Could have been a lot more. LAFC was struggling fitness wise. They were struggling to just compete in overall 90 minutes. They had some good chances. They actually were close to a couple goals, I would say, in this game. But they could have conceded maybe 5 or 6 goals in this one too. The defense did not look great, Dwayne. Wondering why they traded Walker Zimmerman. You know what else did not look great? And they traded Tyler Smith, their goalkeeper, last year. And they got Vermeer instead. And Jesus. Vermeer reminded me of Donovan Ricketts. And that's not necessarily a compliment. Like the chaos in his play. The chaos when you play against a Mexican team. LA weren't ready.
No, Ricketts had one good year and then sort of cruised on that for a while. Yeah,
for like 4 years.
Montreal was not great. this is a great team that is going to absolutely be a contender in Major League Soccer this year. The Zimmerman trade we've talked a lot about in the last week, and it's still baffling to me. There is another shoe to drop there. There is another move that's going to be made out of that. They have a lot of money to spend, but they're going to need to spend it. I think they're probably holding off for the summer. And I, again, I mentioned the extra time CCL preview for Monday. They, you know, Charlie Davis on that show sort of argued back, pushed back against the idea that this was going to hurt them in the CCL, that this was something that was terrible for their CCL chances. With all due respect to Charlie, I think he was giving too much credit to Bob Bradley.
And not enough to Leon, yeah.
Yeah, what he said with, oh, Bob Bradley knows what he's doing. Well, he perhaps he does, but that still doesn't change the fact that this was a major blow for this event.
In Montreal today, if you look at the hockey world, the Habs had another bad defeat yesterday, and the coach said after the game, well, I can't put my skate and go play. I think that's one of the things maybe we forget. Managers in Major League Soccer cannot go on the field and influence the game either. And I guess that's where we give maybe oftentimes too much credit to managers.
Yeah, I was having a dinner last night late, and the Leafs game was on, and there was some gentleman at the bar who was just screaming the F word at the TV every 3 seconds. So I think Toronto didn't do well either in hockey, but I don't pay much attention to the Leafs. So,
exactly. Well, we don't, and we're so we don't want to pay attention when attention is paid to us with the hockey world in Canada. Anyways, you're right. I think we are giving a bit too much credit to managers. And Lyon, like, it was fun. Like, we mentioned the empty stadiums of Motaga, Semper du Sula, and in Kingston for the Portmore United game. It was fun to see Lyon's crowd go all in with the CONCACAF. Like, the stadium was full. There was atmosphere. There was vuvuzelas. It was chaotic. The way the Mexican teams play, it's not even as organized as Major League Soccer team. It's a different type of soccer when you think about it. It's literally, like, they use the talent of everyone to make their team stand out above each other. It's not as tactical and as, like, thought of and as, like, oh, like, instinctive, like, you need to train and to... No. It's a bit more chaotic, and teams don't know how to react to that. That's what I experienced today, and that's one thing I love about CONCACAF. All those little details put together that you see chaos. The vuvuzelas, the sound you're not used to, the players reacting differently. Some players with face tattoos that are really intimidating on the pitch. You don't see that every day in Major League Soccer. You do in CONCACAF. Gotta love it.
Absolutely. And there's 1,000 fans from LAFC there as well. So that
the 3252. Yeah, that was actually really impressive. And the whole experience before and after. You can look at the social media and different known member. Will Ferrell was even there if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was briefly, and not anymore. He jumped the shark many years ago. Anyway,
that's true.
It's look, LAFC, as I said, they're going to be fine, but this is just an ask too much. And to suggest that Club Lyon, who, by the way, is the top team in Mexico right now, is not a better team. It's just, it's beggar's belief. They are, and yeah, they should be favored in this series, and up 2-0. On the road.
Guess what?
Or coming back to LA. I mean, look, that's the one sort of saving grace, I guess, is if you're an LAFC fan, you can say, oh, it's a fortress here and all that sort of stuff. But these Mexican teams are pretty savvy. They'll know how to handle that. It will be not... Look, LAFC is going to sell a lot of tickets, and there's going to be a majority LAFC fans in there, but there will be a significant Lyon presence in that stadium, too. There always is when a Mexican team plays, so they're not going to feel intimidated by the environment. That's just not something that happens in the United States or Canada for these Mexican teams coming up. They play in places where people are tossing flares at them sometimes. So, it's, you know, they're not going to be intimidated.
When your life is at stake sometime in this place, they're actually going to be cheered. Vela was booed every single time he was on the ball or close to the ball last night as a Mexican national team. He's not necessarily liked for some reason. We would need a whole show to explain why the Mexican national team fan is not necessarily a fan of Vela to the same extent as a Chicharito or as a Rafa Marquez. Totally different reputation with the national team. And you've sensed that yesterday when Vela was playing against Lyon. He was booed. And you know what? With the amount of Mexican national team fans that will rally behind Lyon and travel to Bank of California Stadium to watch the second leg, I wouldn't be surprised if Vela is booed in his own stadium. And that will be a different experience. And we've seen Vela react under pressure in the recent years. Sometimes it's actually not a good performance. We'll see if that happens. But tonight, Dwayne, I'm excited. So excited. Deportivo Saprissa, Montreal Impact at 8 p.m. on TSN. Alianza Tigres. Also at the same time and later at night at 10, Comunicacion versus Club America live from Guatemala. That should be another great game. My evening is set. My coffee is on the burner. It's on low, so it won't be too burned tonight. I'm ready to go. Let's go. I want to see some soccer.
Exactly. And you can start your soccer day off in the afternoon, of course, if you're into that sort of thing. And the other Champions League.
Yeah, the other Champions League.
Which, real quickly, I did watch both of those games. Dortmund with the crazy second half. That was, it's worth it. Watch that goal. Dortmund's winning goal in that game. We haven't seen it. Go seek it out. And Atleti, man, Atleti knows how to defend. So Simeone, there you go. We'll go with a rare loss.
Yeah, one of these days we have to talk about Erling Haaland and his amazing play since joining Dortmund. It's been quite stellar from the young player. And again, Alphonso Davies, one of the best players in the world right now. So that's another great thing to look forward to. What are you going to say, Dwayne?
I was just going to say, I made the joke last night that the Bundesliga's best two young players are from Norway and Canada. It's like it's the Winter Olympics or something. Speaking of which, you can listen to our 2010 retrospective on the Five Rings podcast yesterday, Kevin. And after that segue, I'm going to drop the mic and let you wrap the show.
We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Soccer Today. You want to get more CONCACAF Champions League coverage? Go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Tomorrow, tonight, after the game, off the woodworks, we'll be back. I will give you some great analysis on that game, on the other games in the CONCACAF Champions League. We'll look at the chances of Montreal. We'll break down the first competitive game under Thierry Henry. I'm excited. I need a nap, I guess. I'm going to have a caffeine crash soon. But until then, you can follow us on social media at Soccer Today SPN, Dwayne at 24th Minute, and myself at Kev Laramie. And we'll be back tomorrow. Podcast version of our shows are available everywhere you get your podcasts, and our replay, video replay, is available on YouTube, Facebook, and of course, also, always, on Twitter. Until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.